Listen, when you hear, then you can play according to the speed that I'm singing, okay? Got it? Not the other way around. Jai Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari, Jai Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari, Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari, Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jan Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braj Jan Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi, Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari, Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari, Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jan Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braj Jan Ranjana, Jamuna Tira Vana Chati, Jamuna Tira Vana Chati, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Hari Vedakacharya Astutara Satasi Sri Mad His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Pimanandi. Glories to the assembled devotees. Shri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Shuka Uvacha. itam sankirtitas tabhyam bhagavan gokuleshwaraha dhamna cholokale badha rahasan aha goyakao Shri Shuka Uvacha Itam Sankirtitas Tabhyam Bhagavan Gokulishwaraha Dhamna Cholokale Badha Prahasan Aha Goyakao Shri Shuka Uvacha Itam Sankirtitak Sabhyam Bhagavan Gokuleshwaraha Dhamna Chalokule Vadha Shuka Uvacha Itam Sankirtitas Tabhyam Bhagavan Gokuleshwaraha Dhamna Chalokale Badha Prahasan Aha Goyakao Shri Shuka Uvacha Itam Sankirtitas Tabhyam Bhagavan Gokuleshwaraha Dhamna Chalokale Badha Prahasan Aha Goyakao Shri Shuka Uvacha Itam Sankirtitas Tabhyam Bhagavan Gokuleshwaraha Dhamna Chalokale Badha Prahasan Aha Goyakao Shri Shuka Uvacha Shri Shukadeva Goswami continued to speak. In this way, as aforesaid, Sankirtitaha, being glorified and praised, Tabhyam, by the two young demigods, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Gokula Ishwaraha, the master of Gokula, because he is Sarvaloka Maheshwara. Dhamna, by the rope. Cha, also. Ulukale, on the wooden mortar. Badha, bound. Prahasan, smiling, aha, said, Goyakao, unto the two young demigods. Shukadeva Goswami continued, the two young demigods thus offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although Sri Krishna, the Supreme Godhead, is the master of all and was certainly Gokuleshwar, the master of Gokula. He was bound to the wooden mortar by the ropes of the gopis and therefore smiling widely. He spoke to the sons of Kuvera the following words. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna was smiling because he was thinking to himself, these two young demigods fell from the higher planetary system to this planet, and I have delivered them from the bondage of standing for a long time as trees. But as for me, I am bound by the ropes of the gopis and am subject to their chastisements. In other words, Krishna submits to being chastised and bound by the gopis because of pure love and affection, worthy of being praised by a demigod in so many ways. And I'm going to read two more verses and their short purports. So tomorrow is text 42. Well, I don't know if that finishes the chapter. Maybe I should finish the chapter. I'll finish the chapter. So text 40. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the great Saint Narada Muni is very merciful. By his curse, he showed the greatest favor to both of you who were mad after material opulence and who had thus become blind. Although you fell from the higher planet Svargaloka and became trees, you were most favored by him. I knew all these incidents from the very beginning. Purport. It is now confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the curse of a devotee is also to be regarded as mercy. As Krishna, God, is all good, a Vaishnava is also all good. Whatever he does is good for everyone. This is explained in the following verse. So Krishna's speaking. When one is face to face with the sun, there is no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who is fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer be subject to material bondage. Purport. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, sadhu sangha, sarva shastre koi, lava matra sadhu sange sarva siddhi hoy. If by chance one meets a sadhu, a devotee, one's life is immediately successful and one is freed from material bondage. It may be argued that whereas someone may receive a sadhu with great respect, someone else may not receive a sadhu with such respect. A sadhu, however, is equipoised toward everyone. Because of being a pure devotee, a sadhu is always ready to deliver Krishna consciousness without discrimination. As soon as one sees a sadhu, one naturally becomes free. Nonetheless, persons who are too much offensive, who commit Vaishnava aparadas or offenses to a sadhu, will have to take some time before being rectified. This is also indicated herein. And text 40. Oh, Navakuvara and Manigriva, now you may both return to home, since you desire to be always absorbed in my devotional service. Your desire to develop love and affection for me will be fulfilled, and now you will never fall from that platform. Purport, the highest perfection of life is to come to the platform of devotional service and always engage in devotional activities. Understanding this, Nalakovara and Manigriva desire to attain that platform, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead blessed them with the fulfillment of their transcendental desire. And the chapter ends, text 43. Shukadeva Goswami said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having spoken to the two demigods in this way, they circumambulated the Lord, who was bound to the wooden mortar, and offered obeisances to him After taking the permission of Lord Krishna, they return to their respective homes. Now, one of the things I noted here is three times Prabhupada has characterized the grinding mortar as wooden. And when you visit the place where it is, you know, for pilgrims at least, it is said this is where the twin Arjuna trees were standing in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. They have what they identify as the grinding mortar that Krishna was tied to, and it's stone. It was a wooden mortar. So we're hearing the conclusion of this pastime. I'll just summarize and read after that the commentary. Very nice. It's the smiling prahasan of Krishna. It's not a gentle smile, it's a broad smile. As he's speaking, he's tied to the wooden mortar. And they are praising him for freeing them from the bondage of being trees. But while he has the power to free them from the bondage of being a tree, he's bound to a wood mortar. And dhamna cha. Dhamna is the rope. And then you'll hear cha means and he's bound by other things besides the rope. And the main thing that he's bound by is the affection of Mother Jasoda. That's the sweetness of this Damodar pastime, is he's bound udara around the waist by the love of Mother Jasoda. And for that matter, he's bound by the love of all the residents of Braja in particular. That's the smile. And itam sankirtitas tabhyam. So thus, or in this way, having sankirtitas describe with their words the qualities, the characteristics, the glories of Krishna, who they recognize to be Bhagavan, and even more specifically Gokuleshwara. He's the Lord of everything, and so certainly he's the Lord of Gokula. And that's his home. They're returning to their home or homes with the request from the previous verses to be engaged in devotional service so that they can always be remembering him, connected to him, filled with devotion for him. Their understanding is now on the pure platform, and because of that pure platform of wishing to be in Krishna's service, they can understand him. And then Krishna speaks about Narada. although it looked like a curse, it wasn't, ultimately, because he freed you from the bondage of your intoxicated pride and wanton desire to be an enjoyer of your heavenly opulence and that your heavenly position as sons of Kuvera. So that's gone now. Compliments of Narada. And then just by seeing a person such as Narada, then all auspiciousness can come into one's life. Now Prabhupada specifically speaks about the however or the but. If one is offensive, then it'll take some time. But it can also be, you know, offense is one thing and ignorance is another thing. Someone's ignorance can be pretty dense too. Not necessarily offensive, but not fully understanding the great personality Narada Muni. So the Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, when they saw Narada, they were too much intoxicated with pride and liquor to recognize Narada. But as we heard on Sunday, even a hunter could immediately appreciate Narada's saintliness and became very submissive, and he didn't have to become trees. So it can happen even if one is sinful, as was the hunter. Very sinful. What he was doing was compact sin, again and again and again. And passed on from his father exactly what he was doing, how he was doing. So it's a big package of sin. But that can be relieved by sadhu's association. Even seeing him, even before Narada spoke, he was angry, but he couldn't speak angry words because he was seeing Narada, and he felt, who knows what his training was from his father. He's a forest-dwelling person, to understand, you know, when you see a sadhu, when you see a person so exalted like Narada, you should have respect. Chances are he didn't hear that. But just by seeing Narada, he felt that. High, looking up and with high regard and controlling his mind and senses, just naturally in the presence of Narada. So it's such a powerful personality. And then when Narada spoke, the words went in. He didn't argue or try to refute or wiggle or try to like justify or something. He accepted his words. So being fallen, being sinful, doesn't exclude one from devotional service. Pride is, you know, offense, and offense arising, pride arising from offense, that's more treacherous, more difficult of an obstacle. So that's what Prabhupada is referring to here. If one is offensive towards a Vaishnava, going to take longer, as in the case of Nala Kuvara and Manigriva. But still, the grace of Narada was with them. The kindness of Narada was delivered them. And then Krishna's concluding words, so now you may return. You have expressed a desire to remain engaged in my service with love, and I give you the benediction that will happen. So So you return back to your heavenly position, sons of Kuvera, but you won't be in the same enjoyment mood and intoxicated mood and prideful mood because of your remembrance of me and your wishing to be in service to me. So there's protection in devotional service, whether one is in abundance or in poverty, whether one is this or that, whatever the external situation of duality is, one is protected provided the dedication to the service to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, hearing about and glorifying him, there's protection, there's power from the onslaught of the material energy. And so they circumambulated Krishna. Krishna is still tied to the grinding mortar, and then comes his next service. It's really astounding in one sense that here's two demigods that fell into this greatly misfortunate or abominable position, trees, from a demigod to a tree. You know, severe reprimand, but kindness. It's a nice example, metaphor, Krishna's metaphor, as by looking at the sun, there's no darkness. The eyes are not in darkness. So it's similarly, like just by seeing a devotee, one gets light, which to speak of hearing from and trying to serve. Nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. That's what happened. They needed some purification first, but that was also delivered by Narada very, very expertly. So now I'm going to read a little bit. Hopefully. Yeah. This is text 39, when it's on the board. Jiva Goswami writes, laughing, the Lord of Gokula spoke to the two sons of Kuvera, referring to their previous state. The Lord showed their great fortune. He smiled because, although he was glorified by the two as the Lord, he was still bound to the mortar by a rope. First of all, he was bound, but he was bound by a mere rope and to a mortar among all things. But the two, in fear, did not laugh. Seeing them in that condition, he laughed. He rules over Gokula, and as the cause of good fortune, Bhagavan is eternally performing pastimes in Gokula because of being controlled by the prema of his devotees. Gokula should be understood to have the highest qualities. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Sankirtita means completely glorified. Dhamna cha hints at being bound not only by ropes, but by prema also. Prahasa means he smiled very sweetly, thinking these two minor devatas have been bound up by his maya, quote, they are praising me for freeing them from this bondage, but Mother Jasoda binds me and scolds me instead of praising me. Still out of love I stay in Gokula. The love I have for the scolding by the inhabitants of Braja is much more than the praises I receive from these sons of Kuvera. The file is really massive and it takes a while for it to load. So the page is blank, but in a few moments there'll be text on the screen. Our acharyas are giving us the pastimes in Braja are very confidential, not to be pondered by persons with material conceptions of life, because they'll get the wrong understanding and they'll make offense. So here's the next text. This is Jiva Goswami's commentary. Krishna is saying, I have known about this incident, that's what Narada set up, otherwise it would not be suitable for me to show mercy to great offenders. Pleased that they recognized that their condition was Narada's mercy, to confirm their conclusion, he agreed with them in order to give the two joy. For this reason, he makes the statement. Narada was most merciful, and thus he gave mercy to the two, even though they were drunkards. Narada showed mercy by his words, a benediction. Narada had said, I will take away your wealth so that you will not act in this way again. By these words, they fell into darkness, into hellish existence, because of great offense. And the next verse has substantial commentary. Sridhar Swami makes some comment. Those who follow proper conduct, sadhunam, not Narada, and who realize atma, bondage is somewhat reduced. More than this, by seeing those who are constantly thinking of me, bondage is completely removed, since they have the greatest mercy. The devotees are most merciful, and they do not take offense seriously, because they are constantly devoted to this. Speaking, Narada didn't take offense when they were misbehaving the way that they were. He didn't take offense. Because they are constantly devoted to me, the other two qualities naturally follow. Seeing them, no human being has bondage to samsara. What to speak of the devotees, talking to them, and what to speak of you two being great offenders? Sutaram indicates that this offense does not take place by hearing and chanting to the extent that it does by seeing devotees. The effect of removing, seeing devotees, and of course, hearing devotees. The eyes are relieved of darkness to a high degree on seeing the sun. This indicates that even previous to seeing the sun, darkness is removed. This is this is a nice way to say how important. So Prabhupada just goes to the Sadhu Sangha verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And one final point, that the word sadhu commonly, well, there's the worldly picture of sadhu, and there's the Prabhupada's explanation of what sadhu really means. Sadhu doesn't mean a profile or a certain color of dhoti or a certain length of beard or anything like that. A devotee is sadhu. Of course, there's standards of devotion, beginning, intermediate, advanced standards of devotion. But sadhu is sadhu. Sadhu is a devotee. And so we're sadhakas, trying to become devotees, trying to live the life of devotion. And those activities of devotion, they're purifying, naturally so. And the more that we invest the consciousness of devotion in those activities, the more that we will benefit from those activities, and the more that we'll be able to benefit others who come to the temple or with whom we interact in some form or fashion in the course of life, our day-to-day life. We become instruments, as we discussed the other day, we become instruments of the sun, the Krishna sun. It's a nice example. Even before the sun rises, the rising of the sun, the dawn of the sun, illuminates everything, and you can see. What to speak of when the sun directly appears. So the devotee is such a person, that Krishna is the sun, and the devotee is the rays of the sun. It illuminates directly. And darkness can't stand in the presence of the rays of the sun. So they return. After circumambulating Krishna, now Krishna is going to begin contemplating his next lila. From being bound by the rope tied to the wooden mortar, and then comes the next pastime of Krishna. So any discussion? Yes.
Just thinking on the two brothers, Manigriva and Nalakuvara, they're obviously pious devotees. Suchinan Srimatangehe, you take birth, you know, like that. And by pride, then you become fallen. The situation in those type of birth, pious birth, is that you can very easily become proud.
Mm-hmm.
We have, just thinking, and sometimes observing and working with the children in our devotee community, and you see differences of some children actually evolving very, very, very wonderfully, and others become proud and having a much more difficult time. How we can, as teachers, as parents, you know, understand that, because these are very special personalities. They're highly, you know.
So your question is, how do you understand it, or your question is, what do you do?
How to help? How to have a being understanding that they it can very easily, just by their qualities and by their talents, they know you can become very proud. How you can help curb? I mean, being preemptive in one sense.
It depends on the child. And depends on the relationship with the child. Yeah, something like what, you know, the best way to help somebody else is to become pure. I mentioned this the other day. Someone was remarking, they asked a really, you know, well thought out, kind of sensitive, delicate question, and my answer was like 5 words: there's no substitute for purity. Thanks a lot, Maharaj. But you know, so from our side, we want to help. Purity is the force. And when purity is there, to the degree that purity is there, Supersoul will give intelligence how to handle the situation. So the handle the situation minimally is on our side, purity, and demonstrating overall to that child that's decorated with abilities and proud of them, affection. And then when they feel genuine affection, the heart opens and Supersoul gives indication, go this direction, go that direction. It's a relationship between, you know, with Krishna guiding, relationships. Same with parenting, same with friendships, same with children. So Krishna needs to be at the center of consciousness and pleasing Krishna. Then he can give intelligence, and our heart needs to be pure so we can get the signal. Because otherwise, the signal can be given and we won't get it. We'll go, something else will be what we do. Repeating what one of the devotees said this past weekend, you know, the foremost first and foremost element is, it was the topic was about trustworthiness, but it can also be about compassion. And first and foremost is to be trustworthy in our relationship with Guru and Krishna, so that we then get some spiritual strength, some spiritual empowerment, some spiritual intelligence, so we can be acting rightly and with Krishna Shakti, guiding and empowering our efforts. Then it depends on the child, then it depends on the relationship with the child. Some personalities, not only children, some personalities, I'm thinking of one of our ISKCON sannyasi gurus, speaking with that ISKCON sannyasi guru about someone who's has a close affection. And I said, you know, you're the only one that can get through to this person. He you know, he he needs some help. And he looked at me and said, he's a hard nut to crack. But he doesn't give up. But, you know, even when the relationship is good and the person is pure, sometimes it just takes time. And continue to show affection and acceptance. Not, you know, not with a hammer in your hand, but
Guru Maharaj, in the purport of verse 41, Prabhupada writes, if by chance one meets a sadhu, a devotee, one's life is immediately successful, and one is freed from material bondage. So I'm thinking of this word immediately.
It's the seed, not the mature stage of the seed. Successful.
So specifically in terms of one of the themes from the past weekend, you were speaking about Western outreach.
Yeah.
And expressing we could be doing so much more. So in terms of understanding this word immediately, in terms of evaluating our outreach results, it seems like it requires a shift in how we evaluate. You know, it's a very different,
Yes.
The results of Western outreach look very different from outreach to the NRI community.
Yes.
For instance.
Yes.
So, you know, we may not necessarily see these people in our temples, but like one of the things you were bringing up is the yoga scene, in the yoga studio kind of scene, you know, not really reaping the kind of results that devotees would like to see. You know, but again, going back to this word immediately, that the seed has been planted and people that would have never come in contact with bhakti, for instance, have a chance to come in contact with bhakti.
Yes.
Just looking for some thoughts in terms of, I feel like we need a little paradigm shift in terms of how we
need
evaluating.
A little what?
A little shift in terms of how we are evaluating our results.
Well, people take steps towards Krishna. It doesn't have to be giant steps. It doesn't have to look like this or look like that. But take steps. You know, and those three steps from the Bhagavatam verse. Bhakti, Parishano, Bhava, Viraktira, Nyatra, Cha. Those are steps. They want to be engaged in service to Krishna. They have feelings of affection for Krishna along with the service they do. And so those are, it's not an institution-based, it's a bhakti-based kind of evaluation or a standard or criterion or whatever the right word is. While on the one hand, there's also on the other hand. On the one hand, giving the opportunity to anyone, everyone, is the mood of a Vaishnava. And on the other hand, the Vaishnava has to be discriminating. Where is there a likelihood, you know, like an agriculturalist, a farmer, will spend more time on the fertile soil than the barren soil? So the soil that's going to produce better yield gets more attention. They may or may not neglect the less fertile field. They may let that less fertile field just receive whatever, water and fertilizer, and not have the same kind of productivity expectation. Let it, and invest lots of time and energy in allowing the other field to take some time. So, on the one hand, the other hand. So, investing mindfully or thoughtfully or using this, our person's able and maybe more importantly willing to make steps toward Krishna. And we know a preacher or a parent or a teacher of children, or if, you know, we have relationships where there's friendships, where there's an eagerness to take steps, the attention goes there. Because when some take some steps, then that is inspiring for the fence sitters. There's some people on the other side of the fence and they don't want to even sit on the fence. And you know, you can give me prasadam, but you know, don't expect anything else. So those are some thoughts on that question. Anything else? You have another one? Okay. Go ahead.
In the same purport, Prabhupada writes, because of being a pure devotee, a sadhu is always ready to deliver Krishna consciousness without discrimination. So I wanted to check if my understanding of without discrimination is correct. Even though we're enjoined to make distinctions between the envious and the favorable, the neutral, the mood of service is constant, and therefore no discrimination is in terms of...
Yeah. I mean, let's just take the example of book distribution or prasadam distribution or harinam. So we may go into the bowels of somewhere or something, distributing books. I mean, a little anecdotal. There's a god brother and I, for some period of time, went to distribute books every day in the airport. And we became so happy with that service that we would stand next to one another and he would point out the most unlikely person to receive a book, and I would point out the most unlikely person for him to distribute a book to, and we go and just attempt to distribute books. And so, generally speaking, Krishna's mercy, they accepted the book. We may have let like really good candidates go by while we were having fun doing this most unlikely candidate situation. And it was exhilarating. It was amazing. Now, it had something to do with our mood, that we're fully dependent upon Krishna, and Krishna can make the unexpected, you know, happen. Then on the other hand, there we were in the airport, we weren't on, you know, other places that we had also tried on, you know, Fifth Avenue and something, you know, what people are, but, so we select at the same time. When we go on Harinam, we may select neighborhoods where we know, for example, there's young people, and there are young people that are like this, or will go to colleges because there's young people and their minds are open, and we don't go to, you know, Wall Street and invest. But, you know, then there's a strategy that I understand they are developing at the Bhakti Center that's specific to Wall Street and specific to corporate venues, because people are toasted. And, you know, the frailties of and the unpleasantness of the interactions, the uncertainties that their life lives in. Now, some people couldn't care less about any spiritual answer, and some people could care more. And the care more people may go back to caring less when the stock market goes up, or they get a raise in their job, or, you know, something. So on one hand and on the other hand. Without discrimination means, just like we chant, when whether people are accepting, not accepting, they like it, they don't like it. Prabhupada, this little video says, whether they hear or they don't hear, because it's creating auspiciousness. Yes? Yeah, sure. You always got a good question. It's more of a class than a question, but.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your class. You were mentioning purity is the force.
Mentioning?
Purity is the force.
Yeah.
Let the force be with anyway. You were also mentioning that there's no substitute for purity. That's one of your favorite terms you use. This just reminds me of something that Prabhupada mentioned in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. The chapter is called Unifying ISKCON. There's also a subtitle to that chapter. I don't remember what it was. But
speak slowly.
Unifying ISKCON in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita.
Okay.
And so there was actually a debate between the sannyasis and the householders, and the sannyasis basically were maintaining that the householders shouldn't be leaders because they're not as pure.
You're not?
As pure. And so Prabhupada, he quoted
that verse. You're not what?
They're not as pure.
Pure?
Yeah.
Don't leave household life because you're not pure.
The sannyasis were maintaining that the householders aren't as qualified as the sannyasis to be leaders because they're not as pure.
Okay.
And so they were going to Prabhupada with this this discrepancy. And Prabhupada quoted that verse from Ramananda Roy, Kiba Viper, Kiba Nyasi,
yeah, okay.
Sutra Kene No, etc. Okay. Anyone could be a... So Prabhupada...
Purity isn't ashram specific, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so Prabhupada actually, one sannyasi really was very disrespectful to the householders, and Prabhupada finally told them, he actually very humbled them. He said, since no woman wanted to marry you, you say that nobody should get married. And so everyone started to laugh, and he was humbled by Prabhupada. So my question is that in the past times, like Durvasa Muni, he thought he was more pure than Ambarish, and so Bari Muni thought he was more pure than Garuda. So what are some steps we can move forward to give this pride that I could enlighten someone because I think I'm more pure? But we see that the great Vaishnavas, they never think, they always think more humble than a blade of grass, they're never pure. So what's the standard of purity, and how can we prevent ourselves from becoming proud by thinking we're more pure in any situation than others?
Just by recognizing we're very tiny. And anything that is a gift, it's from the giver of the gifts. That's not pride. And because the giver of the gift can take the gift away. It's his. So we're just bearing the gift in this mood of service on behalf of the gift giver and one who is the source of well-wishing for all living entities. So if you make your Krishna connection strong, and you're protected. If your Krishna connection is not strong, you're vulnerable. Whether you preach or you don't preach, whether you stay at home or you go out the door, you know, pride can attack you anyway. So have or don't have. The protection is a strong connection with Krishna. and being grateful for whatever it is that Krishna has given, and use whatever that Krishna has given for the pleasure of Krishna. That's protection in any situation. If that's not there, anything can happen. In the material energy, it usually does, sooner or later. Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.